Hey guys, this is Gail Kim from Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to the 8-Bit Suplex Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the 8-Bit Suplex here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. I am your host, Josh McLaughlin, sitting in the booth today with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jeremy Donovan, one of the co-hosts of Keeping It Strong Style. Of course, you know it as the Ace of Podcast here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Jeremy, how are you doing this fine late afternoon, early evening?
I'm doing good, man. Ready for a nice three-day long weekend. Happy to be back here on the 8-Bit Suplex. Talk about what's going on in the world of Impact Wrestling.
Absolutely. And I do want to just say off the top, it is a long weekend for Memorial Day. Thank you to those that have served. Really appreciate you guys all for your service. And for those that we've lost, thank you. And to those families as well, hard weekend for them. So while you're celebrating, do remember to spare a thought for the families of those that have loved ones that have fallen in service. So thank you to those guys. Absolutely. Before we get started here, Jeremy, I want to touch base. I haven't talked video games with you in a while. Want to see if you're playing anything new, anything consoles, PC, iOS, anything you got going on there?
Yeah, so the two main things that I've been on, one on the mobile front, I've been every day I'm on the NJPW collection card app game.
Man, you're still playing that.
I'm still playing it. I'm the last holdout in the group. I'm still going. I'm still collecting my cards. I just got addicted to that thing, man. And like, they got me hooked. They keep adding new cards. And I'm like, dang, I want that card. And so I just keep playing, keep going, keep trying to trade with people. And, you know, I think I do fair trades sometimes with my allies, and it's sometimes they decline it. I'm like, what's going on, man? Like, you don't have this card. I don't have that card that I want. Like, let's just fair trade. And so,
yeah, build that library.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hustle sometimes to, you know, get those 4-star cards, the ones I want. But yeah, man, I'm still on that every day. Do the check ins, look at the gems, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Then from a console point, pretty much the only game that I'm playing really lately on Xbox One, I got the remastered Tony Hawk.
Great game.
1 and 2.
Yeah, I got that back when it first relaunched, and I don't know why I've been hesitant to do it, but like because I have the PS5 now, and it's like $10 to upgrade it to the PS5 version, and I haven't done it yet. I've bought like 4 games since that are like all like $60 or $70 games, but I'm thinking in my head it's too much to pay $10 again for Tony Hawk. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but if you're picking up Tony Hawk, who's the first guy that you play as?
I'm a Steve Campbell guy, man. You know, growing up, it's pretty cool seeing, you know, the one black skater in the game.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I always kind of gravitate to him, you know, doing the ghetto bird and the other kickflip thing he does. But yeah, that's one of the main guys I play with. Of course, you got to play with Tony at some point too.
Oh, sure.
Hit some 900s.
Absolutely.
Bucky Lassick's another favorite there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm right with you there. I was always a Bob Burnquist guy.
Yeah, Bob Burnquist.
He was always because you didn't really know too much as a kid, like much about Bob Burnquist other than he's from Brazil and he does really cool technical, you know, stuff like grinds and stuff on the vert ramp that you didn't see a lot of guys doing. I thought that was always pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll pass along a recommendation to you for iOS. If you have Apple Arcade, check out Clap Hands Golf. That's okay. Hands, Hanz. I don't think it's Hans. I think it is Hands. I've heard other people call it Clap Hands Golf. But basically, if you're familiar with the Hot Shots Golf franchise, that was from back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It's that same company, but with a mobile version of that game. And it's awesome. I get just sucked into it. And like, you know, it's in there with your Apple Arcade subscription. So no in-game purchases or anything like that necessary. You just play the game and it is awesome. So check out Clap Hands Golf. And I just wrapped up playing Resident Evil Village. I'll probably have a review out to like official review. I'm going to start trying to push some of those out as I finish games that I'm kind of pushing through. Really awesome game. I was very impressed with it myself, but I'll have more details for that. I don't know, Jeremy, you ready to get kicked in here to Impact Wrestling?
Well, one last video game thing. So
For sure.
That I play every week is Super Smash Brothers on Nintendo Switch, the newest one.
Yeah.
When I go over to my parents' house and play with my brother, I play that every week. Captain Falcon's my main.
Have you always been Captain Falcon, or just with this newest iteration?
No, so I've kind of bounced between Pikachu and Captain Falcon. Just kind of lately I've been like a straight Captain Falcon, but there's been times where like Pikachu was my main, and you know, doing the thunder attacks and all that stuff. And,
sure.
But yeah, big fan of using Captain Falcon, Falcon Punch, the Falcon Kick.
Oh yeah. I played a lot of Captain Falcon on the original N64 one. Just because he was so powerful. That Falcon Punch was so powerful in the first game. And if you landed it, you were getting a KO, but they kind of nerfed that a bit. So he's more of a speed character, which he kind of always should have been, in my opinion. But yeah, now if I'm picking up Smash Brothers, I know it's cliche. My go-to is Link. And if I'm not playing Link, I'm probably playing Roy.
Roy's pretty beast, dude.
I enjoy playing with Roy quite a bit, especially when you get that counter just right. Oh,
yeah.
Send him straight to the moon. But that's awesome. Yeah, no, I haven't played Smash Brothers in a while. My son, Nolan, is a big into Smash Brothers guy. So if I could ever get him away from playing like Mario Maker or like Minecraft, that's when I get the chance to play that, because he has my cartridge.
Yeah, the cool thing is they keep just pumping out new characters. Like, I think there's like two or three more new characters that are going to be debuting soon. So keeps it fresh. So always fun to play.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is, and I had the first fighter pack, which I had with the Piranha Plant. It's racking my brain trying to remember what the other ones were. But really, you know, it's an excellent game series. It's been imitated and not very well, and maybe that's a fun episode to do someday imitation games, you know. Not necessarily of Smash Brothers, but like games that imitate something else. Smash Brothers had, PlayStation did one, and I can't remember the exact name of it, but you had like Kratos, and you had Nathan Drake from Uncharted, and I think Parappa the Rapper was in there. And you know, it was just like, and there was something called like PlayStation Battle All-Stars or something like that. And then Cartoon Network has one for some reason. Where you have like Johnny Bravo fighting against like, you know, Dexter from Dexter's Lab. it's all kooky stuff, but definitely, you know, if it's not broke, you know, if it's successful, I'm sure they probably sold a few copies of those games just based off of it being a battle royal type pre, you know, what battle royal means now, but battle royal fighting game, a la Smash Brothers, might as well try it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
No, not at all. So let's shift gears here and head on over to Impact Wrestling. Not a huge episode, only four matches on the card. The first match didn't even come in, and I was looking at the timestamp. The first match didn't start until 18 minutes into the program. Very dialogue heavy. We get a good opening promo from Sami Callihan, trying to call out Kenny Omega. Moose comes out. They talk about what happened. Good Brothers come out and they, you know, start talking, and then Don Callis decides for the first time in, I don't know, probably a year, he decides to make a match. He says, yeah, I'm an EVP here. I can do what I want. I'll make a match. So he makes a match for the main event between the Good Brothers and the team of Moose and Sami Callihan. And then, you know, we have some more backstage stuff. And eventually we do get to a pretty solid tag team match here, right at the top of the card, between Fala Ba and TJP taking on the team of the X Division champion Josh Alexander and the Canadian Destroyer himself, Petey Williams. Petey Williams has looked really good to me, Jeremy, since he came back. I don't know if you're the resident, kind of Impact / TNA historian here. Petey Williams is a guy you've watched for a long time. I don't know that he's looked better.
Yeah, this guy just seems like he's just never missed a beat. Yeah, I was a big TNA fan, especially in the early days, you know, that 04, 06, 07 kind of time frame. And Petey Williams was definitely, you know, one of the pillars of the X Division, leader of the Team Canada stable back then. He had Scott D'Amore managing him, teaming with guys like Eric Young, Bobby Roode, Johnny Devine. And so, yeah, since then, he's just never lost a beat. And, of course, he eventually did the teamed with sorry about the fear of my phone ringing through my
no worries.
He teamed up with Scott Steiner and was doing the little PD Pump gimmick. And that's kind of been what he's kind of carried on since then. And it looks like he's changed it up a little bit now. He's got the long red tights. But, yeah, he's always been great. Also, the innovator of the Canadian Destroyer flip pile driver, which is – you know, not really a finish nowadays. He still uses a finish, but, you know, everybody kind of uses it, you know, just randomly in the middle of a match, which I'm fine. But, yeah, I remember losing my mind the first time I saw him doing it on Impact and was like, whoa, a flipping pile driver. And so, yeah, he's always been very innovative, great shape. And, yeah, he looked really great in this match and this current run with Impact.
Yeah, he looks like, I mean, he's kind of aging in reverse. The way I think of his Canadian Destroyer is the same way that you think about the Jake Roberts DDT, right? He's so good at it, so it's a finisher, but the other guys aren't as good at it because they didn't create it, right? Whereas, like, you know, Jake Roberts could do a single DDT and drop you, and we see DDTs, you know, a dozen times a match.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you can argue, well, you know, Jake's DDT was flawless. He was the creator. I think you just say the same thing about Petey Williams and the Canadian Destroyer. But, you know, he and Josh Alexander do not pick up the victory, though, after a pretty good Samoa drop from Fala Ba, leading to a Mamba Splash by TJP. And he gets the pin over Josh Alexander. And I bring that up specifically, that sequence, because the fallout of this match is that on Before the Impact, which is the pre-show for the weekly Impact show on Access TV, they announced that these two men, TJP and Josh Alexander, for the X Division Championship, are going to have a 60-minute Ironman match. So it's going to run the entire length of Before the Impact. These two guys both can really motor, and they can really go. I'm kind of looking forward to I don't normally like Ironman matches. I don't know where you're kind of at with those these days, Jeremy, but if you're going to do an Ironman match, it might as well be these two guys.
Yeah, I think it really just depends on the two guys you put in there and just kind of the rivalry. I think we've seen in the past, especially in WWE, they'll just kind of throw two guys in an Ironman that might not be the best fit, and then they kind of just abuse, like just doing random, like a bunch of falls in the match, and then kind of have it ending kind of kind of a screwy finish. And so, yeah, just to really think it depends on the right two guys and how you know, tell the story you tell with the falls and submissions and doing a good finish. And like you mentioned here, Josh Alexander and TJP, both very talented guys. I think this is, you know, the right two guys to do it with. Josh Alexander has been looking great in this X Division run. I'm glad to see him, you know, getting a push and getting some shine after All Ego Ethan Page went to AEW. And yeah, a very interesting strategy what they're doing here with putting it before the Impact and kind of having the ending of the match be the thing that opens up Impact. I'm guessing, do you watch Before the, is that on Impact Plus? Is Before the Impact on?
No, it's actually on Access TV. So
okay,
it's actually on their live programming. Before, I've never tuned into a Before the Impact, but I'm gonna tune in next week, especially since my beer league hockey team lost our playoff game and I don't have to play hockey next week, so I have some time freedom. You know, sucks to lose, but hey, but I get to watch a great wrestling match, hopefully, because of it. But yeah, it's interesting to throw that on there. But part of it is because they did announce that it is going to be kind of a knockouts kind of special edition of Impact next week. So I'm interested to see kind of what they do with that. But that's why I think they put this on before the Impact. It's a bold move. We'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, if you really want to get people tuning into that before the Impact, I know I've seen matches advertised for that. I'm just like, okay, I don't know what that's on. That's a good way to kind of bring awareness of that. Get people tuned in early, especially if you're on Twitch, you can just hop on Twitch and tune in early and check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've been using a lot of, like, you know, more enhancement talent matches on there. Explosion obviously is on Impact Plus, that you can definitely tune in for those as well. You see guys, you know, that are coming from like Brian Myers Wrestling School. And then you can see other guys like Sam Beal are getting a lot of reps. So it's nice to see, you know, them kind of opening up a little bit more as we kind of get towards the end of the pandemic here. Hopefully, fingers crossed that nothing else happens.
But real quick, you mentioned Explosion. If any of the 8-bit listeners have Impact Plus subscriptions, there's a lot of hidden gems on old Explosion episodes. You have guys like Nakamura and Tanahashi and some, you know, New Japan guys just having random matches on Explosion. It's real good stuff.
I think you'll probably find some Okada stuff even there too.
Yeah,
young Okada is not necessarily the best version of him, but still looks, you know, still awesome to see those guys kind of over here. And maybe we'll do a little bit of a chat here at the end of this episode, Jeremy, about kind of what's going on with New Japan Pro Wrestling, some of the latest rumors, and just touch on them real quick because they kind of, you know, really bubbled up today.
Yeah,
but we'll come back to that at the end. As we kind of move our way through this episode of Impact. The next match on the card kind of is a preview to that knockout special edition episode that they're going to be kind of throwing out there. So we actually have a 10-man tag team match here between Havoc, Jordan Grace, Rachel Ellering, Rosemary, and Tennille Dashwood against the team of Fire and Flavor, which of course is Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz, Deonna Purrazzo, Kimberly, and Susan. I don't have too much to say about this one. Jeremy, what were your kind of thoughts as you saw these 10 ladies kind of mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, it's a good match. I know that Rachel Ellering and Jordan Grace, they've been feuding with Fire and Flavor, so I figured that kind of part of the main story here and kind of continuing that feud. And then it seems like they're setting Rosemary up to be the next contender. She ended up pinning Deonna Purrazzo in this match. But, I mean, all 10 ladies here are really talented. I'm also kind of a low-key fan of Jessica Havoc. I've seen some of her indie stuff. Saw her live in Chicago for AAW during All In Weekend. And I think she's pretty good. And I don't think she's ever won the Knockouts Championship. And I think she's obviously, you know, not your cookie cutter, you know, knockout, you know, build or whatever. And
yeah,
totally style, totally unique. I definitely think she's somebody you should get behind more and do some more stuff with.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. And I might be wrong on this, but I think she actually did beat Gail Kim a few years ago to take the Knockouts Championship. She has one title reign, and I believe it was a brief one. But yeah, you're right. So, I mean, we do have Rosemary doing the kind of wing clipper finisher on Deonna Purrazzo and getting the pin. And that did actually, they officially made the match for Against All Odds. Rosemary will challenge for the Knockouts Championship on June 12th. So we still have another Impact before we get to a preview for that card, but it's already shaping up to be pretty good. If you got Rosemary and Deonna Purrazzo already confirmed, and you have, of course, Moose versus Kenny Omega already confirmed for that main event, which I think is a match that everyone's dying to see, because I think most of us, even on our group chat, had kind of hoped for Moose the first Kenny Omega singles match, and Rich Swann obviously delivered a great match, but I'm personally ready to see that Moose match very much so.
Yeah, man, Moose he's in incredible shape, the best shape that he's been in. And yeah, we'll talk about the main event, but yeah, he's definitely kind of at the peak of his game right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing we get to before we talk about the next match, I want to take a step back and talk about, there's a backstage segment with W. Morrissey, formerly known, of course, as Big Cass. He has an excellent backstage promo, and you could tell, I mean, there was a lot of real stuff. Like, this was very much in character, but it was coming from Big Cass himself, you know, from W. Morrissey himself. Really dug in deep, and I it was funny, before the show I said to you, it's like, that's the first one that I've heard in a long time, and you're like, probably ever. And I agree, like, that was the best one he's ever done.
Yeah, and that was a great promo. You know, they always say, you know, the best stuff in pro wrestling is when you kind of mix reality, you kind of blur the lines. And so that's what we got here. He used a lot of, you know, real life situations, a lot of struggles that he's been through, just kind of blended that with this new heel character he's doing here in Impact, you know, mentioning, you know, nobody caring about him when he had a seizure and people, you know, taking video of it instead of calling an ambulance and, you know, everybody kind of laughing at him and not wanting to be his friend when he's, you know, hitting rock bottom. And now that he's, you know, doing well, he's in great in shape and he's kind of back, you know, on his way to the top. Everybody wants to, you know, be buddy buddy and smile with him, and he's not down with that. So I think the promo definitely came from probably a real spot that he's in. I'm sure he has had people kind of, you know, oh, I see you're doing good. What's going on kind of thing. And so using that real life experience, kind of blurring the lines, mixing reality with the storyline. And so, yeah, I thought it was a great promo.
Yeah. And there was a line that he mentioned too, like about how there was people in the locker room that he was in previously that are there now. So, I mean, and you know, guys like Brian Myers, Matt Cardona, Rhino might have still been there at the time when all that was going down. So these people, he knows these people, and he's kind of calling them out a little bit too in that promo. So I'm interested to see kind of where he progresses, if he sticks with Impact long term, what that, if he uses it maybe even as a stepping stone to get, you know, to AEW or to, you know, back to WWE. You know, I wouldn't rule that out either. But this is, I mean, this is proof that he didn't need a mouthpiece.
Yeah, definitely agree with that, man. You know, they stuck him with Enzo and with WWE, and kind of we thought, oh, maybe he couldn't talk, and that's the reason why he was with Enzo. But yeah, clearly proved that he has what it takes to speak for himself, cut a promo for himself. And yeah, I think they got something here with this, you know, this new kind of image of W. Morrissey and this new gimmick and new direction. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to kind of see, you know, what the future holds for him here in Impact.
Yeah, me too. And we also have another segment to speak of before we get to the next match. I mentioned it was a pretty interesting night of Impact. Only four matches on the card. So there was a lot of promo segments, a lot of setting up for Against All Odds. And the next thing also did, Eric Young and Violent by Design come out to the ring. Eric Young gives a pretty good promo talking about how everything that's happened is by design, by, you know, waiting until Finn Juice was, you know, kind of down and out after their match at Under Siege to use the Call Your Shot challenge. You know, it was by design. He kept on ending everything with by design, because of course, you know, if you're violent by design, everything else must be by design as well.
Right.
And then he starts to say somebody else, and he's interrupted by one of your favorites, Jeremy. Can you speak to, before we get kind of into the rest of the segment, your fandom of Kojima?
Yeah, so yeah, I was very excited, obviously, with the big announcement of Satoshi Kojima coming to Impact this week. And I've been a Kojima fan for a while now. And I first saw Kojima, I want to say somewhere in like the early 2000s, he showed up here in the States for the original MLW. And they were doing their MLW underground TV tapings. And you had guys like CM Punk and Raven and the Extreme Horsemen with Steve Corino. You had a kind of a wild mix of, like, because ECW had just kind of ended around that time. And so you had some ECW guys kind of jumping in there. You had some indie standouts in there. And Kojima was one of the guys that MLW brought over. He was the MLW champion for a little bit. And that's the first time I saw Kojima and thought he was awesome. And then also, as I started diving into New Japan, kind of, you know, my love for Kojima kind of resurfaced and kind of saw what he was doing in New Japan and just kind of rediscovered all that he was doing when he left MLW. And so, yeah, I've always been a big fan of Kojima. Loved the big lariat. And so, yeah, always one of my favorites.
Yeah, no, I mean, and he's been one that I've really enjoyed. My viewership of New Japan is not as expansive.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It's yours. But whenever I can see Kojima wrestle, it's always a good time. And he comes out to the ring, and Josh Matthews was quick to point out, and it's nice to hear Josh Matthews back. It's filling in for Matt Stryker this week, by the way. He points out quickly that Joe Doering, who of course is part of Violent by Design, and Kojima go way back to old Japan, which, you know, I believe Kojima was a champion.
Yeah.
And so was Joe Doering.
Yeah. So Kojima was the Triple Crown champion when they wrestled. I think that was like around 2010. Yeah. He defended the Triple Crown championship against Joe Doering. And then, yeah, later on, Joe Doering would eventually become Triple Crown champion in his time in All Japan. So, yeah, these guys got some history. We're going to see an All Japan style clash up here with these guys.
Yeah. So, that's the next excellent, point here is that, all Kojima says is against all odds it's going to be an awesome show, awesome match. Like, we have Kenny and Moose on there. We have Deanna and Rosemary. And now we have Kojima versus Joe Doering, which promises to be, for me, it's going to be a heavy hitter. Like,
yeah, it's definitely going to be that Haas matchup. And I think that's thing that you don't always get an Impact, because normally Impact's traditionally a small man promotion. You get a lot of high flying, the quote unquote X Division style. And so I think, yeah, you bring in Kojima, you have him face off with another Haas like Joe Doering. You're going to get that Never style, that Kings Road style, hard hitting. These guys are probably going to be, you know, dropping each other on their heads, and a lot of chops, a lot of strikes. And so it'll probably be like a quick little 10-minute match, but it'll be very hard hitting, very snug. And it'll be a style, especially as Kojima, you know, he's 50 right now, you know, but he can still go. But that'll be kind of a style that will lend to him.
Yeah. And you bring up him being 50, and Impact has another wrestler that's 50 years old on the roster. And I'm speaking, of course, of my best friend, Tommy Dreamer, who sent me a message once on Twitter. There was an awesome picture they took backstage, hanging out together. I know like Kojima is definitely a guy that's respected industry wide around the world. So really excited to see him in the Impact Zone for Against All Odds, taking on Joe Doering. After this promo, we get finally to our third match of the night, which is the tag team of Black Taurus and Crazy Steve. That is, of course, DK, taking on Hernandez and Johnny Swinger, a tag team that you never necessarily asked for, but they're there. this was a pretty quick one. Crazy Steve and Black Taurus are Taurus. I don't know. Everyone says it differently on that show. I don't really.
Yeah. From my understanding, it's Black Taurus.
Taurus.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been a big fan of Black Taurus. You know, he's one of these indie guys that kind of made a name for himself here in the States, doing a lot of indie stuff, coming over. And with a guy like Black Taurus, it's kind of weird that they stuck him with Crazy Steve and they're doing the cave thing with them. I would think he's somebody with that kind of luchador style. You might want to kind of push in the singles, maybe be X Division champion, maybe an occasional even world title challenger. So kind of very weird that he's kind of stuck in a team here with Crazy Steve.
Yeah, I Decay is such a weird faction too, because you can't ever pin their motives. They don't really, but I think that's kind of the point, is that they don't have to point their motives out because, oh, they're crazy, right? So, right, yeah. They don't have to write anything for them because being listless is kind of what they are. But I would say this, probably 6 months ago, Crazy Steve came out shredded and ready to go. And he's been putting in good work. I'm not crazy about his, no pun intended, about his character too much. But he's definitely gotten much better in ring. And, I think putting him with someone like Black Taurus helps kind of give him a rub. So I'm not really to pull the plug on that team. I'd like to see them do something a little bit more eventful than just, wrestling Hernandez and Johnny Swinger.
Yeah, and I found the team of Swinger and Hernandez kind of weird. I've always been a fan of Hernandez back in the earlier days, the LAX days, where he was teaming with Homicide and they had that run going.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird here to see him, teaming up with Johnny Swinger and the whole Swinger's Palace gimmick they got going on.
Yeah, I've kind of buried Swinger's Palace previously on this show, and I'm not going to change that stance after this week's episode either. I just don't. I always applaud Impact for trying something new. They're always trying to find a new presentation maybe you haven't seen in professional wrestling. But a lot of times that's because, well, it's not used because it shouldn't be. So
right. Yeah, Johnny Swinger, one of those cases of an old who should not be on top.
Yes, yes. And speaking of olds on top, I'll use this opportunity to tell you to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/social suplex and check out the new Olds on Top t-shirt. Really good t-shirt. And of course, while you're there, why don't you pick up a shirt from all your favorite podcasts, well, such as 8-Bit Suplex and Keeping It Strong Style.
Yeah, you know, there's the Memorial Day sale going on right now. Use that code Memorial, you can get 20% off of that.
And you'll come pretty damn close to getting free shipping if you just buy one shirt from each of the podcasts, plus the Olds on Top shirt. You'll be real close to that free shipping.
Yeah.
You know, and then just
at 150 real quick.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just throw in maybe a micro brawler or two, and there you are. I tell you, I love pro wrestling tees, but man, the amount of text messages I get about micro brawlers on a weekly basis.
Dude, I get the text, the email, the app notification. I got to say that they're on it with the marketing, man.
They're definitely pushing hard. And speaking of pushing hard, we got the main event match to talk about here between the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, taking on the kind of mismatched team of Moose and Sami Callihan. Four good wrestlers. Sami Callihan is someone that I'm higher on probably than most. From an in-ring perspective. But what'd you think about this match, Jeremy?
I thought it was a good main event here. I have not been the biggest Sami Callihan fan. I've seen Sami in Ring of Honor. I've seen him in NXT. Seen him all over the place. And he's just never has hooked me. Never been a fan of the promos, the wrestling style. And definitely got personal heat with him from WrestleMania weekend in New York for the Pancakes and Piledriver show where we're supposed to get pancakes. There were no pancakes, and yeah, so not the biggest.
Just pile drivers. Just pile drivers don't go down as well without the pancakes there.
Yeah, that is the only wrestling show that I've actually walked out of that I've paid a ticket for.
And we've been to some stinkers together, my friend.
Yeah, and like no pancakes, and then the show was just kind of meh. The first like match or so, I'm like, you know what? Let's explore New York for a little bit. Let's get out of here. But yeah, I thought he looked fine here in this match. Obviously, the standout here for me is Moose. Like we were talking about earlier, Moose, he's shredded, incredible shape. He's a guy who looks like he's, ready for a world title match. Very athletic, did a couple springboard moves in this match here. And the story they're telling here, it's, the two guys who don't get along kind of story 101. Like, can they coexist? The big story there. And so, could Moose and Sami Callihan coexist? And they kind of were for the majority of the match until the end there where Sami gets pissed off and Moose hits him with the bicycle kick, which sets up for Sammy's end. He gets hit with the magic killer. Moose just kind of watches him get taken out, and then he comes back in and kind of lays Callihan out with the big spear. So nice little segment to kind of continue a feud with Good Brothers and maybe Sami Callihan, and then just kind of get Moose ready to face off against Kenny at the Against All Odds show.
Yeah, and I don't know that I can think of a more mismatched pair to run that story of can they get along or can't they than Moose and Sami Callihan.
Right.
It's a very striking, you got like the 6'9" ex NFL player, and then you got, the guy that wears the battle vest and tries to do hardcore matches with everything. It's there's no similarities between them at all. And I think a lot of times in wrestling you see they'll do two guys that are similar and that's why they can't coexist. They're too much like each other and they just, this and that. And then you're like, let's just run that with Moose and Sami.
Yeah, complete polar opposites. No reason why these guys should be coexisting. But I thought they did a good job setting up with the opening promo angle.
And
the Good Brothers trying to make it seem like, Moose was on their side the whole time. And I thought it worked out here. And I'm interested to see kind of where they're going as far as like with the Good Brothers and Sami Callihan part of the story. Because, I know it's been a while. There's no OVE, so I'm not sure who else Sami would be really teaming up with to take on the Good Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, so the built-in, can they get along to, take on the Good Brothers story is Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards, who have been feuding for the better part of, the past, 30 years, it feels like.
Yeah.
So, there's your built-in kind of will they, won't they kind of thing. So, you know, it's interesting, right? Because the Good Brothers are going to be on this card. We only have three matches announced for the card so far. So, you know, a lot can change with next week's Impact. You know, I think we have two more Impacts before Against All Odds. So we'll definitely get into what that card looks like as the weeks go on here. But I imagine,
it's shaping up to be a good card. You know, you got, you know, Kenny against Moose for the Impact title. You're going to have Kojima and Joe Doring. You're going to have the Deonna Purrazzo and Rosemary match. And I'm sure there'll be an X Division title offense. You'll have a tag title offense. So for it just being an Impact Plus special, it's shaping up to be a pretty good show.
Yeah, which is strange because you would think that this would be, like, if you told me those three matches were what we're going to run on Slammiversary, I'd be like, great. Yeah, like, sign me up. I'll buy the pay-per-view. Like,
I'm surprised that Kenny's defending the title on Impact Plus special. It seems like they were saving him coming in and doing title matches for their pay-per-view event. So, but I think it's cool, you know, get some subscriptions. Everybody, you know, Kenny Omega, everybody wants to watch Kenny no matter what promotion he's wrestling at the time. So using Kenny to, you know, help drive up Impact Plus subscriptions is a good idea there. And yeah, that match with Moose should be really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And, you know, with that kind of wraps up the episode of Impact for this week. Like I said at the top, not a whole lot to talk about here, but we definitely wanted to make sure we called out, you know, some of those key backstage moments. So we're talking about, you know, a Kojima match against All Odds. We've had Finn Juice as the tag team champions. We've had El Fantasmo compete for the X Division title. A lot of New Japan Pro Wrestling guys trying to find work elsewhere, obviously, while things are kind of in turmoil with New Japan right now. And today, even more of that has kind of come out. So what are you kind of hearing, Jeremy, about kind of what the state of New Japan Pro Wrestling is? Is there as much unrest as being reported, do you think? Like, what are you thinking? What are you hearing? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so there definitely seems to be some, you know, unrest with the roster, some unhappiness with management, a lot of miscommunications of, you know, shows being canceled, people having to stay, people getting COVID, and there's a lot going on right now in Japan and with just how they've been handling COVID, the lack of vaccine rollout. So yeah, there's a lot of, definitely a little bit of, you know, people on edge, especially the foreign guys who, you know, they want to go back home, and whenever they come back, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Some guys are having to quarantine at the dojo in government hotels, not, you know, the best situation. So yeah, things are a little bit up in flux there. And then, you know, the news broke today with a potential partnership, or at least, you know, Nick Khan from WWE has been talking with New Japan to make them the exclusive North American partner. And also, you know, back in the old days, you know, WWE and New Japan used to have working relationship. So that's nothing new there. And, you know, also, I think it's just a kind of a keep away game. Obviously, I think Brian Danielson is kind of the key kind of piece here. You know, he's been saying he wants to work for New Japan, but also work for WWE at the same time. And obviously, that's not really a thing that can happen right now with the way things are laid out. And so it seems like, you know, Nick Khan has been making a lot of big moves. Also, you know, getting the network sold to Peacock and, you know, just trimming down the company and some of the office people. And so I'm sure, being the business guy he is, he's trying to see if there's a way that they can keep Daniel Bryan, work with New Japan, and keep Daniel Bryan away from AEW. Now, as far as would New Japan actually do that, I have a hard time believing that they would get back in bed with WWE, especially since, you know, the report said that conversation was a few months ago. And since then, we've kind of seen New Japan, they've been sending guys to Impact. They have been sending guys to AEW. We saw Nagata on Dynamite. We saw Narita and Rocky Romero on Elevation. And you mentioned Impact. We're seeing ELP. We're seeing Kojima. We're seeing Finjuice. Yeah. So we're seeing these guys. We're seeing New Japan work with all these guys in the States. Also, besides that, it'd be, and the weirdest thing to me that nobody's really talking about is not much interaction with their current actual North American partner, Ring of Honor. The only guys that have really worked Ring of Honor in the last year have been Rocky Romero and David Finlay. So kind of curious there why no New Japan guys are working for Ring of Honor. But I did see, I think Tommy Dreamer was the one, might have been, or somebody high up in Impact said that we're going to see more New Japan guys in Impact. So if that makes me think that, I don't think New Japan's going to have any plans to, you know, start a partnership with WWE anytime soon. I think they're going to continue to work with Impact and maybe AEW. And I think it's pretty big that they're working with Impact, because for years now, they've hated Impact just because of how they handled young lions that they sent there on excursion. You know, they sent guys like Kazuchika Okada over there for excursion, barely got used. When he did get used, he was in a kind of a goofy sidekick gimmick with Samoa Joe. You know, they would send over, their, you know, Nakamura was IWGP champion when they sent him over, and he was wrestling on Explosion. And so Impact slash TNA just never had a good history of using New Japan talent. They were sent, and from that day on, you know, New Japan's hated Impact, even sure, with a management change. And it's taken them till now to finally, you know, be open to working with Impact again. And so I think that's a big thing. And so, you know, definitely we'll keep our ears and eyes open for any developing news on kind of what's going on with New Japan's North American partnerships and what they got going on there. But as of right now, I think it's just kind of, I do think the conversation happened between Nikon and New Japan. I don't think that they're going to move forward, but yeah, other things have happened.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely make sure you subscribe or follow, follows the new terminology to Keeping It Strong Style, and make sure you you follow along with Jeremy and Josh Number One as they you know, kind of keep everyone up to date on that. And one thing that you said that struck me is, you know, the repaired relationship, so to speak, of Impact and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Do you attribute that to the involvement of Don Callis with Impact?
Yeah, I would think Don Callis has a big part to play with that. So, you know, Don was doing the commentary for New Japan for a while there, and then until, you know, it was recommended by Chris Jericho for him to be an executive for Impact. And so he tried to do some commentary and run both, but it didn't quite work out. He did a couple of big shows, but he's mainly been focused on Impact. And so I think also having that familiarity in that relationship with Don Callis definitely, you know, opened that quote unquote forbidden door for New Japan to work with Impact.
Yeah, no, it's certainly been interesting, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. And then there's also kind of, you know, those rumors about, you know, is Don Callis still actually an EVP at Impact, or is he get, what is he? You what I've learned from watching anything related to Don Callis is that nobody really knows what he's really up to. He's the carny's carny, right? So
Don Callis is the ultimate carny. He knows how to finesse. He knows how to, you know, make the best of any situation. I know we actually, you know, me and Rich, we ran Don Callis in New Orleans and shared an elevator for him. And, you know, we were trying to pop in with, you know, some of the lines he would say on his podcast, and totally no sold us, wasn't paying attention to us or whatever. So, you know, that's the kind of guy he is. He's the ultimate worker. He knows kind of, you know, how to read the room. He knows how to control people, how to manipulate. And I think his on-screen character is very similar to probably how he is in real life.
Yeah, I get that vibe as well. But yeah, you know, you mentioned his commentary work, and that's why, you know, when we did our Social Suplex Podcast Network draft, part of what we had to do was draft commentators. And so, you know, for those that haven't caught that yet, I'll give you a sneak peek. I drafted, you know, Don Callis as my color commentator. But yeah, if you haven't heard that, definitely go to the network feed. If you're listening to the show on the network feed, do a little scroll up, go find part one of our fantasy draft, kind of, pick by pick breakdown, 24 wrestler / team, 10 match card fantasy. I mean, it was new to me. I had never experienced anything like this, as far as wrestling goes. But if you like fantasy football and you watch, like, you know, ESPN for like 10 hours a day getting ready for your fantasy football draft, spend a lot less time with us and hear us gab on about our picks and things like that. But I had a lot of fun with it this year, Jeremy.
Yeah, dude, the draft was a lot of fun this year. The most competitive Social Suplex draft we've done. Everybody came to play, man. It was very intense. You know, normally we're laughing, you know, cracking jokes as people are making their picks, but there's a lot of times where it was dead silence. People are, you know, researching and looking through rosters, who's going to get drafted. And overall, I think each team did an excellent job putting together rosters. And I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing what everybody's, you know, fantasy cards are going to be.
Yeah, and part two will be coming out in the next week. And I'll tell you this much for part one, Jeremy, you did a Herculean task of editing some of that dead air out because, like Jeremy said, like there's good jokes, there's good laughs, it's entertaining audio that we put out there. But with that, there was a lot of dead space, a lot of people coming off of mute from other conversations and talking over people.
Right, it was always the best because like Rich and James were on mute, like having a side conversation, like, you know, coming with their strategy, and then like we'd be having a conversation, they just like, kind of jump in, like, all right, we're making our thing. Totally not listening to what's going on. Yeah, it definitely a fun episode. Like Josh said, you can go on to the Social Suplex Podcast Network feed, check out the draft episode, hear all the teams, all the rosters that we've drafted, and then sometime next week we'll drop that episode. Each team, they're going to reveal their fantasy cards. Josh, number one, and I, we got ours done last night. And so, yeah, we have our fantasy card all set. Josh, I know you have your card set. So, yeah, looking forward to putting that together and just hearing the type of cards that everybody has come out for. And then we'll have instructions on how you guys can vote for your favorite show when we drop that.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this show, there's a good chance that this is your favorite show by default because I think there's only seven of you. So, no, I kid, of course. We do all right as far as downloads go. But, no, it was a lot of fun. Look for that. Jeremy, thanks as always for coming on. You were on our very first episode. I think we've gotten a little bit more streamlined here, a little bit more organized. Yeah. I think that first episode went like 3.5 hours or something crazy. We were trying to cover too much stuff, and
you pulled a Keeping It Strong style there.
Yeah, and I decided, especially in recent months, just how busy things have gotten, that a nice crisp 1 hour listen might do the ticket for us. And we'll, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there may be some game reviews coming out either in written form or maybe just in a quick podcast form, like little quick hitters. I wouldn't imagine that if it was a podcast form that I'd be doing a video game review longer than 10 minutes, unless someone came on to talk shop as well, because then, you know, who knows what happens where the conversation leads. But Jeremy, before we get out of here, why don't you go ahead and throw out all your plugs?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy L. Donovan. You can follow Keeping It Strong Style at KI Strong Style. You can follow Social Suplex at Social Suplex. You can check out socialsuplex.com. All the podcasts are uploaded there. Every once in a while, there'll be some columns up there as well. Check out the Pros and Tees, prosandtees.com/Suplex. We talked about it earlier. Memorial Day sales going on right now. Grab a Social Suplex shirt, Keeping It Strong Style, 8-Bit, One Nation Radio, Ricky and Clive, and of course the Olds on Top t-shirt. And yeah, be on the lookout for the second part of the draft next week, and then new episode of Keeping It Strong Style dropping late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. I'm sure we'll be talking some more about this WWE New Japan news, latest updates on Will Ospreay and all that good stuff.
Excellent. And since you did all that, t-shirt salesman stuff that I normally have to do, I'll do the easy part and just say follow us at 8-Bit Suplex on Twitter, or you can follow me at Laughlin_Josh. And that's this week's show. We'll see you guys next week as we break down next week's Impact Wrestling. And maybe we'll have a few more matches to preview from Against All Odds coming up. And then we'll be back in action too, I'm sure, with another Omega Watch. But until then, we'll see you next time. That's it. All right. Later.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the 8-Bit Suplex Podcast. See you next time.